Good afternoon, everybody. We have a parsha in the Chumash about Nedarim and Shavuos. That's the beginning of Parshas Matos. The Chumash in Vayikra, in the end of Parshas Vayikra, talks about a person who took a Shavua, Nefesh Kisishova Levate Bisasayim. If a person took a Shavua by pronouncing with his lips, so even though that pasuk only appears in Chumash with respect to a Shavua, we assume the din applies with respect to a neder as well. If a person takes a neder b'leiv, he never said it b'peh, so strictly speaking, it's not binding. The Gemara in Shavuah says, if a person made up his mind to take a neder, it's not binding unless he says it b'peh. So most of the Rishonim assume that the din applies both to neder and to Shavuah. That's the accepted opinion. The Gemara has an exception to the rule. Gemara has two exceptions to the rule, that an inyan of hafloa. Hafloa means when a person pronounces something with his lips, it's binding. So Gemara says there are two exceptions to the rule, that it's chal b'machshava. One is truma. If a person is mafresh truma b'machshava, that is chal, based on the pasuk in the end of Parshas Korach. Nechshav lachem trumaschem. Truma is chal b'machshava. And the other exception to the rule is hegdish. Because the pasuk says in Devar Yomim, called indeed Lev Oilus Eviu, all of those who had accepted upon themselves to bring a carbon oila brought the carbon to the Beis Hamikdash. So you see, Nadiv Lev, it's a pasuk in Chumash also, called Nadiv Lev Eviyena. I don't know why the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Devar Yomim, they don't quote the pasuk in Chumash, but the pasuk in Devar Yomim talks about Hegdish, that if a person is Magdish, something donated to the Beis Hamikdash, Hegdish is Chal B'machshavim. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote a machloikus, what if they made an appeal in Shul, and the person made up his mind during the appeal, he's going to give $1,000. And then on Sunday morning, when it's ready, he's ready to make out the check, he decides to change it to $500. So the Psak HaMekubal, both in Yerudei Hilchas Tzedokah and in Choshen Mishpat, is that just like Hegdish is Chal B'machshava, so Tzedokah is also Chal B'machshava. Tzedokah has a lot of times the same dinim as Hegdish, So the same pasuk that tells us that Hegdish is Chal B'machshava includes also that Tzedokah is Chal B'machshava. Now there's a Gemara in Nedarim, and Daf Pei on the days, where the Gemara says that there's a din about the simple reading of the Gemara. The Rambam has a different reading. But the simple reading of the Gemara, the way it's understood by the Ran in Nedarim, Daf Pei on the days, quoting the Bali HaTosfos, that if a person has a minik toiv, when they take out the Sefer Torah on Sheni v'Chamishi on Shabbos morning, he walks behind the whole procession following the Sefer Torah. To be mechaber the Sefer Torah, has a minik, he always kisses the Sefer Torah. Whatever, he has a minik that he doesn't eat meat in the 9 days. Years ago, there used to be a small minik that a few people had, now it became an international minik. That most of the Jews don't eat meat in the 9 days. So if you have a minik toiv, so the Gemara says that's binding midirabbanan mitam neder. It's not a neder minatar because he never said levate bisosayim. He had in mind. This is his personal practice. So it's binding midirabbanan mitam neder. That means minatar neder is only if he did levate bisosayim. And if it's hegdish, it's doker, then it's chal b'machshava. And if you have a minig toiv, so midirabbanan, we treat it as if it were also like hegdish, and it's binding midirabbanan. So if a person decides, so if he does the minig toiv once and he plans to continue doing like that, let's say once he learns daf yomi and he made up his mind, this is a wonderful practice, he's going to do it every day for the rest of his life. Or he wasn't thinking one way or the other. He had this practice 3 times in a row, and he wasn't thinking at all about what's going to be in the future. So if he did it 3 times in a row, it indicates that he plans to do it for the rest of his life. And then again, we consider that a minikta, we treat it like hegdish, just like hegdish is chal b'machshava min ha-Torah. So here the minikta is binding midirabbanan b'machshava. So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote this Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of the third chelik Yerideya, begins with the dinim of Shavuos and Nedarim. So there's a whole chapter, a whole siman, Resh Yudaleh, that's dedicated to this din, Menhagim are binding, Mitam Neder, and it's Midirabbanan. So if a person decides later it's too much for him, he doesn't want to learn Daf Yomi every day, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch, he has to make a Hataras Nedarim. He has to put together a Bezna 3 and explain to them why he's asking for Hataras Nedarim. What if a person learns Daf Yomi, but one day, a couple of days, he's sick in the hospital intensive care unit, and he can't learn the Daf Yomi, he's unconscious. So when he knows that he's going in for this procedure, does he have to make a Hataras Nedarim in advance? So that Nadi Behuda has comments that are printed on the side of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch, the comments of the Nadi Behuda called the Dogel Nirvava. The Dogel Nirvava says the only time you need a Hataras Nedarim for a Minik Taif is if from now on you plan no longer to observe this Minik Taif. But if you do plan to observe it, just you happen to be stuck, it's a Shas Atchak now. So then for that, you don't need a Hataras Nedarim. That's self-understood. That's considered as if it's built into the neder to observe the Minik Taif, that I'll observe the Minik Taif whenever it's possible, whenever it's reasonably possible. It's going to be too difficult. That's self-understood that he's not going to observe the Minik Taif. And there's no need for Hataras Nedarim under such circumstances. Yeah. A certain rabbi told me that 40, 50 years ago when he was a student learning in Eretz Yisrael, and then the practice was that the children didn't come back to America for Pesach. They stayed in Eretz Yisrael, either with relatives or their friends. So he had a married sister, and his family practice was that they were a Hasidish family. They didn't eat kibrochs. His sister married a misnaged, and his sister still married to the misnaged after all these years. And her husband does eat kibroch, so she no longer observes that minig. We'll get to that later. What do you do when a couple marries and one is a chassidishit, one is a misnagdishit, they have different minhagim? So he had a problem. How can he eat by his sister? Everything that she makes is kibroch. So some of the rabbanim told him he has to make a hataras nedarim. So the pashtus is that that's not correct. If he gets stuck, now he doesn't eat kibroch. So the Dogel Mevava writes on the side of the Yeridah, if you get stuck 1 year, you have no choice. The best place for him to be is by his married sister who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So that's self-understood that you don't need a Hataras Nedarim. Once in a while we get stuck. If he would want Mikan V'Yelech not to observe Gibrox, the Pashto says he wouldn't even be able to make a Hataras Nedarim. Because whenever you make a Hataras Nedarim... Yes. Whenever you make a Hataras Nedarim, so the Baal HaNeder has to appear. He has to be Nishal Al Nidra. He has to come appear to the Bezin and request a Hataras. So who is the Baal HaNeder of the Gibrox? He never took a Neder, not after his Bar Mitzvah, not the last year before his Bar Mitzvah. He never took a Neder, not the Gibrox. So the answer is there are two types of Nedarim, the two types of Shvuas. You know, the Ragachava was a great Goen. And they used to send them letters from all over Europe. All the yeshiva bochum would send them kashas and learning, and people would ask them shailas. Mainly, yeshiva bochum asked kashas from the Hasidic yeshivas, from the misnagdish yeshivas. Everybody sent them kashas or shailas and learning. And he would write many, many postcards every day. So they put them all together. So they wanted to get him involved a little bit in politics, and he understood what they were schlepping him into. So he always avoided it. So they once asked them, what did you say about the Aguda? They meant Agudas Yisrael. So he made believe he didn't know what they were asking about, and he wrote about the topic, well, the Lulav Tzarcheged, Lulav Ena Tzarcheged. So they have the letter printed, well, the Lulav Tzarcheged. And then they once asked him, what does it say about the Shalosh Shvuas? That's the Gemara in the end of Ksuvah. So the Gemara comments that the Pasuk appears three times in Shir HaShirim. So the Gemara says, why does the Pasuk appear three times? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people swear, take an oath, that they wouldn't pressure the nations of the world to give us back Eretz Yisrael. When we were in Golus, we shouldn't pressure the Ummah Soilim. So this was the main, this was the Gemara with the Shalosh Shvuas, the three oaths that the Jewish people took, that we won't pressure the Nachman. Three different oaths. That was one of the three. So that was the main source that the Minchat Sherebbe, the Minchas HaLuzer, would always tumble about, that you're not allowed to support the Zionist cause because the Jewish people took the Shalosh Shvuas. I have a sefer on Halacha and Orach Chaim. So I was looking through the table. This is 60 years ago. Someone gave me the sefer. So I was looking through the table of contents of the sefer. So in the table of contents, he has a whole section on the Shalosh Shavuos. A person, a yeshiva guy, writes about the Shalosh Shavuos. I looked inside. He made a mistake. He meant the Drei Wochen, the 3 weeks. That's not Shalosh Shavuos. That's Shlosha Shavuos. The 3 weeks, the dinim of the Drei Wochen, the Shlosh Shavuos. Shalosh Shavuos, the three oaths. Shavua, Loshen, Lekeva. Shavua, a week, is Loshen Zachar. So Shlosha. Shalosh Shavuos is the issue of Zionism. So the Rogat Shaver was asked, what does he say about the Shalosh Shavuos? He knew what they meant. They wanted to hear, what does he say, whether you're permitted to support the Zionist movement or not. So he wrote a shtickle Torah that has nothing to do with the issue. So he wrote, why are these Shavuos binding? I never took the Shavuos, my parents never took, my grandparents never took the Shavuos. Why is it binding? The answer is that the Shavuos was taken by Klal Yisrael. So not only is there a concept of Shavuos HaYochid, there's a Shavuos HaTzibur. If you belong to a community, and that community took a Shavuos, so that Shavuos is binding even 3,000 years later, even many generations later, as long as you belong to that Tzibur. So he was bothered with Akasha. Why does it say that when it came time for Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Bnei Yisrael took, Ayikach Moshe Satzmas Yosef Imo, Moshe Rabbeinu went to dig up Yosef HaTzadik from where he was buried. Ki Hashbeah Hishbeah is Bnei Yisrael. Yosef HaTzadik had his brothers swear to him he died before the others. That's how the Medrash says. Yosef was younger than all the others. Binyamin was younger than him, and he was next to the youngest. And he died before the others because he was involved in politics. He was involved in the government. And Rabbanus Mekabera says, Bela, Rabbanus means you're involved in politics, so you die young. So the Medrash has a comment, Hashbeah Hishbeah. He knew that the brothers would not live so long to experience Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Hishbiyam, he had his brother swear, Shehashbiyah has b'neim, Shehashbiyah has b'neim. He had his brother swear that they'll make their children swear, that they'll make their children swear, that when it comes time for Yetzias Mitzrayim, they'll take Yosef's bones back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Rav Chava was bothered with the Kasha. We never took a Shavua. My parents, my grandma never took any Shavua. So why is it binding on us? So the answer is because Klal Yisrael, not only is there a Shavuos HaYochid, there's a Shavuos HaTzibur. So why didn't Yosef HaTzadik just have Klal Yisrael swear to him that they'll take his bones back and it would be binding on the future generation? Why did it have to be Hashbeah Hishbeah Hishbeah and Shehashbeah as B'neihem? So he answers that this concept of Klal Yisrael as an institution of body didn't exist yet in the days of Yosef HaTzadik. It only came into existence after Maimon HaSinai, perhaps even later, after they entered into Eretz Yisrael. The Ikat Siruf of Klal Yisrael is the fact that they all live in Eretz Yisrael. Many different dinim in the Gemara. So that's what he says. Yosef had them swear that was Kodem Matan Torah. So that had to be a Shavuos HaYochid. The concept of Shavuos HaTzibur didn't exist yet. But after Matan Torah, Shlomo HaMelech writes in Shir HaShirim, Ishbati Eschem Enos Yerushalayim, that Shavuos was taken sometime after Maimon HaSinai, maybe even after Maimon HaSinai, maybe only after they entered Eretz Yisrael, they became a whole nation. Then there's a din this week's Sedra in Parshas Bechokosa, and the Teichecha it says, "Bekoshlu ish biochiv." So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, "Koshlu ish b'avoin ochiv." People will be punished because of the sins of other people. Doesn't mean they'll be running away and they'll trip all over each other. They'll fall all over each other. Not to be taken literally. "Bekoshlu ish biochiv ish b'avoin ochiv." We are held responsible. If yesh biyodo lohachiach, if ain't biyodo lohachiach, I don't have the ability to give tochacha to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael and Iraq, I have no shaykhs with them. So I'm not held responsible for their averis. But if other people are doing averis, that's the rule of Kol Yisrael. They're all held responsible for each other. If it's yesh biyodo lohachiach, so it's learned after not posit Kol Yisrael arevim zeh b'zeh. Even though the Teichah Kosai was proclaimed at the time of Maimon HaSinai, is before they entered into Eretz Yisrael. So how can you, and the Gemara says, Kol Yisrael arevim zeh b'zeh didn't take effect, didn't begin until after they entered Eretz Yisrael and they declared the brachas and klolos at Hagrizim and Harevo. That's how the Gemara learns that, the Gemara in Shavuos learns it out from the Psukim like that. The Brachas of Klolos, Hagriz Marevo, was the clinching of the Tziruf, of the Tzibu, Klolos HaRevim Zebizet. So why was it proclaimed, Ukashlish Be'achvet HaSinai? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, no, the Techecha was proclaimed at HaSinai. It says, Ele Debir Abis, the concluding Pasuk in the Techecha Mechukai says, Ele Debir Abis, HaShakras HaShem Emenezo, HaSinai. That was proclaimed at HaSinai. But it's talking about Kashlish B'yachet, after they'll come into Eretz Yisrael, and they'll sin, and they'll be punished, and then they'll be sent into Golus. So it's talking after the come into Eretz Yisrael, after they'll be in Eretz Yisrael, so the whole Din of Kol Yisrael Rebim Zebizeh will be binding, will take effect. So that's what the Ragachava sent back in the letter. Just like there's a Shavuos HaYochid and there's a Shavuos HaTzibur. So Yosef HaTzadik lived before the Tzibur existed. But Shlomo HaMelech Shavuot, that he's writing about Hishbati Eschem and Osh Yerushalayim, that was after Maimon HaSinai. Perhaps you have to add on after the Brochas of Klolos, Hagriz Maharevo, and the din of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebizeh set in. So that was the emergence of the concept of Klal Yisrael. So based on that there's a Shavuos HaYochid and a Shavuos HaTzibur, we can understand why Minhag HaTzibur Abayinim. Let's say the Ashkenazim have a meaning that we don't eat kidneys on Pesach. And we have a meaning that we don't eat fleshiks in the 9 days. We have a lot of minhagim. So why is a meaning binding? I never accepted it. The answer is it's a meaning at Tzibur. And if you belong to that Tzibur, let's say Hasidim have a meaning they don't eat kibruks. Misnagdim don't have that meaning. So whoever belongs to that Eda, whoever belongs to that Kehila, is bound by the minhagim of that Kehila. And the minig is binding by the Rabbanim, mitam nerim, mitam shvur, as if that kehila had taken a shvur. So the question is, what if you have a couple gets married, and one is an Ashkenazi, one is a Sephardi, and one is a Chassid, one is a Misnagid. So we're going to say that each spouse has to follow his family, minhagim, whatever kehila he belongs to. What do you mean? A husband and a wife belong to two different kehilas. It doesn't make sense. So we assume, let's say the husband has a minig toif, he learns daf yomi every day. So his wife's a mechiv to learn daf yomi every day. No, no such thing. The husband always runs to shul half an hour before the shkia on Friday. He wants to satisfy that opinion that masif and mechol al hakodesh, you have to add on 30 minutes. Samach and halacha, dinam deraisa, dinam derabbana. Samach always means 30 minutes before. So that's what the Rabbeinu Peretz writes on Beitza, daf lamed amid aleph. What is the shear? Tosis points out there in Beitza, daf lamed amid aleph. From the Gemara, it would appear that there's a minimum shear, minimum amount of time that's necessary to be added in order to fulfill the din of Masif and Mechol HaKadosh Tosef HaShem. How much time? So Tosis says they can't figure it out from the Gemara. So the Rabbeinu Peretz volunteers, and the Achronim quoted this Rabbeinu Peretz. The Achronim quoted it from manuscript. Now we have it printed already. So Rabbeinu Peretz says 30 minutes. That's usually the shear for Samach. So let's say the husband has the practice, he runs to shul, he stops doing malacha, and Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontav, 30 minutes before the shkia. The shkia is already Bein HaShmashas, so then it's a Sofik Deraisa L'chumer. That's what we follow, the Vilna Gaon and the Bala Tanya, that right away with shkia is Bein HaShmashas. Rabbi Natam holds that Bein HaShmashas doesn't begin till way later, but the common practice is we don't follow that Rabbi Natam. So just because the husband has a Midas Chasidus, he has a Minik Toiv, so this is binding on the wife. The Pashta says, no such din. Or the wife has Midas Chassidus, she's a big tzaddikah, she's always saying Tilim. So because she's married to the husband, her husband's also mechuyev to say Tilim. And daven all day and all night. No, each person is on his own. The husband, the wife, each one does their own Midas Chassidus. Each one has their own Minik Toiv. The only time we say there's an issue is if it's a Minik HaKehila. Minik HaKehila, not to eat kibroks, and Minik not to eat fleshiks in the 9 days. Or not to eat kidney or something like that. So then it doesn't make sense if the husband and the wife are married to each other and they belong to two different kehillas. So some are of the opinion, some poskim are of the opinion. The Gemara says, let's say the yekis only wait 3 hours between fleshiks and milchiks, and everybody else, all the other edus, wait 6 hours. The Rambam writes, kemoshe shos, you wait approximately 6 hours. So let's say a couple gets married, one is a yekka, one is not. So it doesn't make sense that one spouse should wait 6 hours, one spouse should wait 3 hours each month. They have to belong to the same kehillah. So some are of the opinion, well, the Gemara has like this. Let's say the Yekke moves from Germany to America, and he moves into a community where there are no other Yekkes, and he dives in a shul with everybody else. So then he no longer belongs to that Kehillah. If he's only in America temporarily, just for half a year, and then he plays for a year, and then he comes, he plans to move back to Germany to his Kehillah, Daito Lachzos, and then he's still a member of the original Kehillah, and he's still bound with their Nidorim and their Shavuos, the Shavuos HaTzibur. But if it's not Daito Lachzos, the Gemara says, he moves to another Kehillah. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have kitnis, they didn't have gebrox, they didn't have 6 hours, 3 hours. That other minhagim, other things about certain chem, more serious minhagim, where there's certain types of chelev, amutar, aroser, that some kehillahs that were more machmer than in others. They had different practices. So the Gemara says, if a person moves to another kehillah, so if he's Daito Lachzer, if he plans to go back to the original Kehillah, then he's still considered a member of that Kehillah. He's bound by their Minhagim, bound by their Shavuos, and meaning is binding Mitam Neder. So he's still a member of that Kehillah. But if he's ain't Daito Lachzer, so he no longer belongs to that Kehillah, belongs to the new Kehillah. The Pashtus is that, this is a question, the Pashtus is that the meaning of waiting 3 hours or 6 hours or Gebrox or these are minhagei hatzibur. It's not minhagei hamishpacha. Sometimes you have a minhag hamishpacha. The Gemara has in Perek Makom Shenaga, a whole Perek in the middle of Pesachim. The Gemara talks about different minhagim. The Gemara says there was a certain family, but not all the people in the community had this minhag. Only that family had it. The grandfather, the father, the children, Friday afternoon after 12 o'clock, they would close up their shop, they would go home. They wouldn't do any malacha, they wouldn't travel Friday afternoon. So that's considered a tzibur. It's not a tzibur of a whole Eda, like all the Ashkenazim, or all the Sfardim, or all the Hasidim, or all the Misnagdim, not touch a big Kehillah. But it's a family. So that family binig is binding on their descendants also. But so the question is, let's say waiting 3 hours versus 6 hours, or gebrox, is that a family minig? So since I'm a member of that family, I'm obligated to observe, I have the right to observe the minig of 3 hours, or obligated to observe the minig of 6 hours. Or do you say it's a minig a kehillah? So the Pashta says it's a minig a kehillah. Kehillahs observe different minhagim. So once I moved from the German community, I moved to America, and there are no other yakis living in the neighborhood. And I daven in the shul. I don't plan to go back to Germany. So I have to wait 6 hours. You can't change. Unless a whole bunch of Yekkes moved together to America, they found the Yekke Kishik Kehillah. Okay, they found the Yekke Kishik Kehillah. So now they belong to this Kehillah, and this Kehillah only waits 3 hours. They don't wait 6 hours. So there's a concept. The Gemara talks about Daito Lachzer versus Ein Daito Lachzer. So if a couple gets married, it's Ein Daito Lachzer. They don't plan to get divorced in the near future. They plan to have a happy marriage together. So how can you say that the husband belongs to one kehillah, the wife belongs to another kehillah, if you're talking about a minig kehillah? So some poskim are of the opinion that since the Chumash speaks about the Isha birshus baila, that's exactly the difference between arusa and nesua. In the days of Tanakh, in the days of the Gemara, till the days of the Gaonim were the heads, name of the yeshiva used to be Yeshivas Gaon Yaakov, the pride of the Jewish people, Gaon Yaakov. It's an expression in Tehillim. So the name of the yeshiva used to be Gaon Yaakov, and the head of the yeshiva, the fundraiser, the president of the yeshiva, was called Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov. Some of them were just plain fundraisers, and some of them were outstanding Talmid HaChacham. But there were other big Talmid HaChachamim also at the same time who were not Gaonim. Today, the word Gaon means a genius in learning. But in the days of the Gaonim, not all of them were on the same level of successful Talmid HaChachamim. Some of the famous ones were very strong in learning. Others were not so strong. So in the days of the Gaonim, they changed this practice. That what? Days of Tanakh till the days of the Gaonim, a girl would get married with Erisin. That's Kiddushin. A boy would give a ring, say Harem Mukadeshesli, to have a celebration. But the girl would still live with her parents, and the boy would live with his parents. He would go get a job. He would go buy himself an apartment and go buy clothing, and the girl would buy clothing, and then they would make up when they're going to have Nisuin. And it's self-understood. He can't schlep around with the girl for more than 12 months. He has to make the Nisuin within 12 months, unless they both agree that they want to postpone. So there used to be a big pause in between Erisin and Nisuin, often up until a whole year. That's why in Yiddish there's an expression, Senemta Mayor and a Mitzvah. It takes him a whole year and a Wednesday. What's a whole year and a Wednesday? That's the boy has to marry the girl within by the end of the year, and then let's say they had Eris and they had Kiddushin on Rosh Chodesh Adar. So by next Rosh Chodesh Adar, he has to have Nisuin. But next Rosh Chodesh Adar is a Friday. So he doesn't have to do Nisuin on Friday, because Psula Nisus Liom Harvi. The meaning in the days of the Tanaim was that if a girl is getting married for the first time, she would get married on Wednesday in the daytime. The Gemara gives a whole explanation in the beginning, the first Mishnah in Ksubas. Psula Nisus Liom Harvi. If you have the wedding at night, so the meaning in Europe used to be get married on it. If you get married at night, it's Tuesday night, because Wednesday night is already Thursday. That's Yom HaMishi. So if you get married after the Shkia, so it's Tuesday night is Yom Ravi. So that's why the fellow has a Yoren HaMitvach. He has the right to wait a whole year till he does the Nisuin. And then he has the right to wait till the first Wednesday after that year is up. That's where the expression comes from the opening Mishnah in Ksubas. So what is the difference? There are differences in din between an arusa and an nesua. The Gemara has in last week's Sedrim, beginning of Parsha Samor, the din is that kohanim are not permitted to be metamei lemeisim unless it's one of the seven relatives. So the seventh relative is not explicit in the Chumash. The Torah Shabbal Peh reads it into the Chumash, the wife, the spouse, the husband or the wife. So the din is that ishto arusa, if they only had erisin, they didn't yet have nisuin, there are a lot of differences between arusa and the sua. By us, it's only a 2-minute pause. The chassan says, Hariyat Mukudeshusli gives a ring. Then the rabbi reads the ksuga. And then they're standing under the chuppah and they say the sheva bracha. So that's it. So it's a 5-minute difference between erisin and nisuin. But in the days of the Tanakh, till the days of the Gaonim, when they moved it up, we have right away the Nisuin immediately following Erisin. We don't wait a year and a mitzvah in between, but for many centuries they did. So there are differences in halacha on the level of the Reis, on the level of the Rabban, a lot of differences between Arusa and the Nisua. What's the difference in definition between an Arusa and an Nisua? So the din is an Arusa is an Eshishish lo bebeis ha-baal, and the Nisua is an Eshishish bebeis ha-baal. Just as a mashal, not at all the same as a mashal. I remember Rav Nissen Alpert, Zechon Lebracha, used to be a very outstanding student of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He lived, I think, in the same building with Rav Moshe, and he picked up a lot from Rav Moshe. He was a Rebbe in YU the last couple of years of his life. So he used to say, just like in ownership, if you have property, so if something is shali, but it's stolen, so it's shali vein abishusi, so it's my ownership is incomplete. He cannot ishki agdish is beis. This week said ishki agdish is beis akodesh. My beis abushusa. I've called bushusa. We pasken like Rabbi Yechanan can only be magdish something. You only have full bialis if it's shaloy bushusa. So just like by ownership, there's a concept of shaloy bushusa. So by marriage also, it's not identical, but it's a law similar. A mashal that there's a concept of an eshishish shaloy beis abal and an eshishish beis abal. And when the Gemara says, Beisa Zuishta, Vichipa Bado, Biad Beisa, the Kangodl has to be married on Yom Kippur. And when he says the Vidui, he has to say Vidui for himself. And the first Vidui, he says for himself and his wife. Second Vidui, he says Vidui 3 times on Yom Kippur. Second Vidui, he says, Ani Beisi, B'nei Aaron, Am Kadoshecho. Then the third Vidui, he says, on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. So the first one that says, Vichipa Bado, he asks for Kapora, for forgiveness. So the first Mishnah in Yuma says, Beisa Zu Ishto, and the Gemara says in Yuma, beginning of Yuma, Beisa Zu Ishto is only in Nisua. If she's in Arusa, he can't do the Avodah. Kain Godel has to be married. When it comes to Yom Kippur, he has to be married. He has to have Nisuin with his wife, and that's sufficient if he only has Erisin. So many Rabbanim are of the opinion that if you have a couple marrying, one is a Sephardi, one is an Ashkenazi, one is a Chassid, one is a Misnaget. So the wife is always considered in Chumash, in Tanakh, in Halacha, wife is always considered Beveis HaBaal. So it's always considered as if the wife enters the Bishus of the husband. She's Bishus HaBaal and Esua. And Arusa is not. And Esua is Beveis HaBaal. So since she enters his Bishus, so she always joins his Kehillah. I don't know if that's necessarily the way to go. It could be that it's not always like that. Let's say he's a ger. He's a bal tshuva. he's wet behind his ears. His parents, his grandparents, the last two or three generations were not observant at all. They never kept anything. So she enters his kehillah. He barely has any kehillah. She's from a rabbinic family for the last 20 generations. So the pashtus is that whoever, all things are equal, some he says she enters his kehillah. But I can visualize that sometimes the reverse. She's from a very strong tradition, a religious tradition of her family, generation after generation. He's a Baal Tshuva, very ger. I can visualize one saying that he joins her kehillah. But this is assumed that the couple that's married, that has nisuin, that she's b'deis habaal, it doesn't make sense to say that each one has a different minig kehillah. He belongs to one kehillah, she belongs to another kehillah. So let's say waiting 3 hours, 6 hours, the pashtus, that's a minig kehillah. So let's say this boy who was learning in Eretz Yisrael, so the minig not to Ikir Brooks, he can't be mata neder on that minig, he's not the bala neder. Whenever you have a neder, or whenever you have a minig, which is binding mid the rabbanim itam neder, so if you want to be mata neder, you have to be nisha lochochem. The Mishnah says you have to come to the Bezni and request of the Bezni what you want a hatorah. But if the shvua, the minig toiv is binding on you, mitam neder, but if it's a minig ha-kehillah, it's not that you are the bala neder. You belong to a kehillah that accepted this minig, that accepted this neder. So then the pashtus is only if the whole kehillah is prepared to make a hatorah. You're not the bala bus to make a hatorah. Pashtus says you don't need a hatorah. It's self-understood if you get stuck once in a while. Once he spent in Eretz Yisrael, he was a bacher. He had no place to go. Can't go back home. Years ago, they didn't come back to America. They didn't blow in so much money just to come back to America in the middle of the year to spend Pesach with the parents. So they stayed in Eretz Yisrael. So if you get stuck once in a long while, so it's self-understood that the minig will not be binding. The Pischei Tshuva there in Simon Reish Yudalad has an interesting comment from the Tshuva's Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer has many, hundreds of tshuvas, many tshuvas. And in all the tshuvas, he assumes that dinim derais amochama, then dinim derabon, and dinim derabon, and amochama, dinim en hogim. The pashtus is like that. If it's only a minig, so it's a lower level than a din derabon. So the Chasam Sofer quoted there by the Pischei Tshuva in Simon Reish Yudalad writes, you have to be very careful with menhagim, because more chomer than dinim derabbanan, because a minig is mitam neder, so it's a din deraisa. So that's against the Gemara. The Gemara said the Farish. There's bal yachal midirabbanan on a minig. That's how the Ran on Daftayam and Beis in the Dorm quotes from the Bali Ataisis, menhagim are binding midirabbanan mitam neder. It's not that it's a neder minatur, because you're lacking levate bisvasai midirabbanan. We treat it like a neder shal hegdish. My guess is there was a great goyin who passed away already, Rav Nosson Kishtetner, from Eretz Yisrael. He wrote many svarim. He published over 60 svarim. I have several of his svarim. They're very nice. They're all very nice. So I seem to recall seeing once, I don't know which of his svarim, he has an essay about this. How can a Chasam Sofer contradict himself? In 20 different tshuvas, he assumes that a minig is less chomer than a din de rabbanan. And all of a sudden, over here in this one tshuva that the Pischei Tshuva quotes, he says that a minig is more serious than a ned. Minig is more serious than a din de rabbanan because the minig is binding min ha-Torah, mitam neder. That's against the Gemara. The Gemara says the Farish. It's only mitam neder min de rabbanan. So that's a problem. So just my guess perhaps is that Chasam Sofer lived at the beginning of the Reform Movement. After he passed away, and his son, the Ksav Sofer, who took over the Rabbanus in Presburg, and he was fighting the Reform during his lifetime. That's when the Reform became even more crazy. That's when they went off even further. But during the time of the Ksav Sofer, so the Reform were first picking on Minhagim. So they didn't like it that the Chassan wears a kittel under the chuppah. They thought it's a design. And they didn't like Kol Nidre. They said the Goyim considered the Jews dishonest in business because they promised they're going to deliver the merchandise, they're going to pay the money, and they don't keep their promises because they make Kol Nidre, they make HaTorah Nedarim. So that's why the Jews are cheats. in business because they make kol nidre. So the reform first did away kol nidre. It's not a din, it's a minig. They did away with kol nidre, they did away with the chassan wearing the kittel under the chuppah. First they were picking on little minhagim here and there. And then they were picking on real din of their eyes. So one thing led to the other. So my guess is that perhaps that the context of that tshuva, of the Chazam Sefer, where he writes that minhagim are more serious than dinim derabbanim, meaning is binding mitam neder, so to their eyes. Maybe he's talking about, maybe that's part of his attack against the reform, who started off by picking on the minhagim. We have a minute to wait 6 hours, some wait 3 hours, whatever, 1 hour between fleshiks and milchiks. So there's an interesting Pischei Tshuva in Yerideya, Simen Peites, where it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should wait Kemoshe Shoes. So the Pischei Tshuva in Simen Peites, if Kotten Gimel quotes a Chassam Sefer, who says that years ago, if a person had ulcers, so the way they didn't have a treatment for it, so they used to recommend that the person, I remember when I was a little boy, it was assumed that you drink warm milk, and that'll keep everything under control. Now they have a cure. Now they have a medical treatment. So they came to the realization that the warm milk is a fake. It doesn't help at all. But for years, that's what they thought. Maybe it helped control the pain when one had an ulcer attack. So the Chassam Sefer has a tshuva. He says if a person already had fleshiks and he waited 1 hour, 1 hour is more serious than 6 hours. 1 hour is a passage in the Zohar that you shouldn't have fleshiks and melechiks b'chod ha-shaita. So what does it mean b'chod ha-shaita? It means at one time, or it means within the same hour, 60 minutes. So some understand that it means within an hour, within 60 minutes. It doesn't mean b'vasachas, that to wait 1 hour, that's a real din derabban. Okay. So to be permitted to have milchiks within an hour, we would only be matir if the fellow is a chol l'shem b'sakani. He has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. Let's say he has such an ulcer attack that he just can't function at all. But if it's just extremely painful, but it doesn't really prevent him. If he has to lay in bed, he can't function normally. That's called a chol l'shem b'sakani. So in Hilchos Shabbos, we have different degrees. So one is a chol l'shem b'sakani. We allow him to violate Isurim derabbanan that are only gzeris. The prohibitions on Shabbos midderabbanan are divided into two categories. Some are malachas midderabbanan, more serious, and some are only gzeris midderabbanan. So to take medication on Shabbos, to take refuah is only a gzeris midderabbanan. It's also shemi yishachik samamanim. In the days of the Tanaim, when a person would need medication, he would usually grind up the herbs on his own. So that's an isur aptochein on Shabbos. So they prohibited applying medication because it may lead to tochen. So there was some gedolim in 100 years ago who were of the opinion that since today, if a person needs medication, he goes to the drugstore, he's not going to grind anything up. And today, the drugstore is not going to grind it up either. It's all ground up already in the factory where they prepare it. So since the whole reason doesn't apply, so the whole Gzera de Rabbanan doesn't apply. We don't really accept that opinion. We assume that this is a Dovish of the Minyan. Tzach Minyan Achalatira. The Gemara says, whatever the Chachamim make a prohibition, even though the prohibition was for a certain reason, you live in a generation where the whole reason, the whole concern doesn't apply, so the Gzera de Rabbanan still applies. That's a loyplug, even in a circumstance where the reason doesn't apply. And Dovish of the Minyan means even if you live in a generation where the whole reason never applies, you still bound to observe the din derabbanan up until the time that we'll establish a bezin to be matir, to remove this din derabbanan. Okay, to take medication on Shabbos, so the generally accepted opinion is that if a person is a chodesh ha'em bo sakana, he's permitted to take medication on Shabbos if there's no other malacha involved. Why? Because taking medication is only a gzera. It's not even a malacha midrabban. It's a gzera, lest he will grind up the herbs. But he's not grinding it up. Let's say you're not allowed to climb on a tree, lest you break off a branch. You can't say whoever climbs on a tree, whoever leans on a tree is in violation of kotzer. He didn't break off any branch. It's only a gzera. So whenever it's only a gzera and the person is in a state of a chodesh em b'sakana, we assume all a gzera is amuta. So let's say if a person wants to have fleshiks with milchiks within an hour of fleshiks, so that's only a gzera. So if the person has such so much pain that he can't function normally, that's the definition of a chodesh emes hakana, then we would be matir it. We would allow him to have milchiks within an hour. But let's say he has this ulcer attack, and he has pain, but it doesn't prevent him from functioning normally. It's just that it's uncomfortable. So then Chassam Sofer distinguishes, he says, for the first hour, in the first hour is a real din derabanan, he assumes, based on the Zohar that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. So then it's only muta for chodesh emes hakana if he can't function normally. But for the next 5 hours, to wait till the 6 hours, kamo sheish shoyes, so that you don't have to be a chodesh emes hakana. As long as it's mitzar b'miktsas, it's already muta. The same thing kitnias on Pesach. In Europe, every 20, 30 years, there would be a shnas batzoris. There wouldn't be enough food to go around for the people unless you'll permit them to eat kitnias. So the rabbonim would gather together, and they would give a psak. They would size up the situation to determine, is it really going to be a great hardship if you're going to tell the people that they can't eat the kidneys? So if it's a great hardship, then we allow them. But not that we're mata the minig. We're not mata the minig, because next year we plan to continue with the minig of kidneys. We follow that dog and levava that we said before, that whenever there's a minig, toiv, midas chasidus achumra, so it's self-understood, it's like built-in, that if it'll be a big shas atchak, it'll be unreasonable to observe the minig. So it's mutter without a hatara. You just need a bezin to paskin that it's enough of a shas atchak. So that was a practice in Europe. Whenever there would be a big shas atchak, there would be a shnas batzoris, the rabbonim would gather together and they would paskin that this year you can eat the kidneys. So that's the Chassam Sofer has that kula. That since, let's say the same thing, kidneys. Kidneys is only a minig. So in order to allow a person to eat kidneys on Pesach, it doesn't have to be a cholu shein b'sakon. It doesn't have to be that he's so sick he's muta l'mishkov. If there's a slight problem, if it's a bit of a shas atchak, then we're already matter to eat kidneys. The Rambam has a totally different opinion. The Ran in the Dorim on Daf Pem and Beis quotes this from the Balei HaTosfos. That's a simple reading of the Gemara, that a minik toiv is binding mitam neder mit derabbanan, there's bal yachal mit derabbanan. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah doesn't seem to hold like that, and in the Tshuva he explains also, the Tshuva's a Rambam, explains what he holds. Rav Soloveitchik said this over from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He didn't say it over based on the Tshuva's a Rambam, but it is in the Tshuva's a Rambam. When the Gemara says that a minig is like a neder, it doesn't mean that it's binding mitam neder. What the Gemara meant to say was the following. One can argue the point, are you permitted to observe a minig? Why isn't it a violation of Baal Tosif? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us 613 mitzvahs. Let us observe what he told us. Why are we adding on to the 613 mitzvahs? So the mitzvahs that the Chachamim added on, that's a din loisasur. The Torah authorized the Chachamim to make a shmartim es mishmarti, asum mishmaris mishmarti. That was the theme of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, ases yog la Torah. So the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah and the Bayi Shenin made a lot of gzeiros derabbanan, and they made mitzvahs from derabbanan. So that we're obligated to observe. But what's the heter to observe in Hogim? So the Gemara says it's like a neder. The Gemara says that a neder, in a certain sense, is also a shtickel violation. It smells like Baltosif, you're adding on something new. And the Rishami has that famous line, Lo dayecha masha asra lecha Torah, nishginuk. It's not sufficient, but the Torah prohibits. The Torah gave us so many prohibitions. Asha asra lecha dvarim ha-metorim. Who tells you to add on more nedarim? And Moshavu is to asr more things that you're not going to do. Just keep what it says in the Torah. But strictly speaking, it's not a violation of Baltosif. The Torah authorizes that if a person takes a neder in a shvua, it is binding, even though it's in a certain sense it's improper to take nedar mishvus. So that's what the Gemara meant to say, that a minik toiv is like a neder, that you don't say it's a violation of Baltosif. You're permitted to observe a minik toiv, but it's not binding. The only time a minik is binding, according to the Rambam, if it's a minik hatzibur, if the whole community does it, and you're going to be breaking the discipline in the community, the whole community decided that they're going to say Kol Nidre, and this guy decides he doesn't like Kol Nidre. So that's a separate Issa, Parish Midakei HaTzibur. Parish Midakei HaTzibur is a separate Issa. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva lists off all the people who don't have a chelik. Oh, my boss, and one of them is a Parish Midakei HaTzibur. So the Ravid asks in his Asogas on the Rambam, what the Avera did the fellow do that he loses Olam Haba. What did he worship Avodah Zarah? Chal Shabbos b'fasi, what did he do? The answer is no, he didn't do anything. Emach Shabbos fazich. He keeps all the mitzvahs and the Torah, everything in Shulchan Aruch, but he doesn't go along with the community. That itself is another perish medaki atziba. So that's how Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik understood the Rambam in Hilchas Shechita. The Rambam writes a list of treifus min haTorah. Then you have certain diseases in animal that's a treifus min derabbanan. Then you have certain things that depend on the minhag hamakom. There are minhagim that yaseh. Then the Rambam says, regarding a certain, he gives you a description of a treifus. He says, even if there's a minhag that you don't eat it, the minhag is not binding, because the minhag is not binding on a dovah sheino motzui. If it's a rare thing, it comes up once every 50 years, doesn't come up so often, so minhag is not binding. So Moshe Soloveitchik interpreted, and it's really oizgehalten, it's what he said is based on the Tshuva's Rambam. He wasn't aware of the Tshuva, that the Rambam's opinion is that the only minhagim that are binding are minhagi hatzibur, because it'll be a nisa parish medaki hatzibur. It was a dovah sheino motzui. It's not so common. Hardly ever comes up. You can't say that he's parish medaki hatzibur. If it's a thing that comes up all the time, and he's demonstrating that he doesn't join along with the tzibur, that's an isa parish medaki hatzibur. This is part of the story of the minhagim. We should observe minhagim. The Maharil has a story, a very shocking story. The minhag in a certain community was that they said certain piyutim on Rosh Hashanah for Shachris and others for Musaf. And he decided that they should reverse the order. They should say this one makes more sense. He figured it out. It makes more sense to say he said all the piyutim, but he said the one for Shachris, he said it Musaf. He switched it around. And that year, the year after that Rosh Hashanah, his young daughter died. And he attributed the death of his young daughter to the fact that he violated the minhag. He violated the minhag. He said all the piyutim anyway, but he said it in a different order. He felt that that's when he had minhagi hakehila, based on the fact that we're passing on traditions from generation to generation. So if I'm not following, the tradition of this community, I'm saying the piyutim at a different time. I leave out the piyutim, then I don't deserve to have children. I'm not going to be transmitting the minhagim to the next generation. Very shocking. But that's what the Maharil writes in his Sefer. He attributes the death of his young daughter to the fact that he was Mishan and the Minig and reversing the order. So we should be careful with all the minhagim, but we're not obligated to observe minhagim to the same extent as dinim derabbanan. Just like there's a din of Bal Tosef, you're not allowed to be machmer on a din derabbanan to the same extent as a din deraisa. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik understood, likewise, you're not permitted to be machmer on a minhag to the same extent that you observe a din derabbanan. Have a nice day. Tomorrow, B'rtzos Hashem, we will do Parshas HaShavua at the same time, from 12 to 12:45.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.